Well, good evening. This morning we mentioned that we were going to be talking about last night I died. We asked the questions, what would be your concern and what would be important to you? There's a story that's told of a businessman who goes to his financial advisor each year. At the end of the year, he says, I died last night. Tell me what happened to my family, my business, and my estate. Every year, he would ask that question. If he had actually died the night before, do you believe that financial interest would have been his interest? No. That would have been the last thing you would say that was on his mind. I think about Stephen, who was ready to die. You know, when you actually take the time and you read that of Acts chapter 7, not just like I said, reading it, just skimming through it, I'm talking about reading and studying it. At the end of Acts chapter 7, and verses 59 and 60, you'll notice, very interesting. He said, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was ready to die. He looked forward to the world to come saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Would that have been something that was on our mind while we're being stoned to death? We say, that takes a real special person, doesn't it? To have that kind of mentality. And back at the world, he was leaving. And he prayed for his murderers. Forgiveness. As I stated, suppose that we did die last night. What would be our concern and what would be important to you? Money, business, honor, recreation. The list could go on and on. We make our own list for ourselves. We would be most concerned, obviously, with spiritual matters, including the answers that we'll look at and some questions here in just a moment. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This gives a good portrayal here. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21, you find that one from the crowd said to him, talking to Jesus, says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, but for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since, he says, I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul it will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This one always really kind of brings us back down to reality, doesn't it? About what's going to happen at the end. In this parable, a very simple parable, you see where this man's heart or his affections, we would say, very opposite of Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of this
earth. We know in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there may your heart be also, right? Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21 quoted there. So think about this individual. God says, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Have you ever thought about that of our own possessions? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. The writers of old said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will do what with it? We will carry nothing out. That's fact. So we're going to answer some questions, some basic questions, I believe. We're going to start out with the first one here. Did I obey the gospel? Did I obey it? We many times say, was I saved or was I a Christian? And we ask that question, you know, what really is gospel obedience? You know, that's really the question that's all over the place today. You know, there's a lot of disagreements about what gospel obedience is. We know in Romans 10, then verse 15, he said, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, Paul said. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then in verse 17, a familiar verse to us also, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not what some man has come up with, but the simple gospel, plan of salvation. Hearing the word, believing. With a heart, man believes in righteousness. Repenting of our sins. A change of heart, a change of mind leads to a change of direction in life. Confession. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. The latter part of Romans 10, verse 10. Being baptized, immersed to rise and walk in newness of life. And, of course, to live faithfully. We think about submissive response throughout our life as Christians, as one who obeyed the gospel. We'll talk a little more as we go along. But submissive response, such as in Matthew 7 and verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. That's that submissive response due to hearing and believing, being moved with fear, just like Noah was in the building of the ark, doing things that please God. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. Jesus himself, the Hebrew writer, is saying, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of what? Eternal salvation to all who obey him. Can I say that for myself? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, once again, to those at Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice how he describes it. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. I mean, that defines a lot there, doesn't it? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your reasonable service, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we did as Christians, right? When we became Christians. Followers of Christ, we were buried with him in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. The old things have been put away. The new things have been put on. Notice how Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. The same faith that we talked about in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, we have to ask that question.
Is that something of why we are Christians in obeying the gospel? Because we love his appearance. We love what he has in store for us, for what he has done for us. So it's always the question, have we obeyed the gospel? You know, a lot of people, when I get older or I tend to, and you know, there's a lot of arguments that's made today. We'll study with individuals. That's an interesting question to ask someone. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a follower of Christ? Puts things into perspective. Because last night I died. Question. In view of eternity, where am I standing now? For those who had not obeyed the gospel, guess what? It's not good. Because it talks about taking vengeance, flaming fire, in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, on those who do not know God, for those who do not love his appearance, those who do not obey his will. There is no more opportunity at that point. Think soberly about that. If not, thy soul is required of thee. The next one I would ask is, was I faithful to the Lord? Philippians 2 in verses 19 through 22. Paul said to Philippi, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character. Notice how he describes Timothy. Your proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. We ask many times just, you know, what others see. And, you know, what a good report Paul gave Timothy. Someone who had truly a proven character, who was like-minded in regarding Christ and his will. As he says, for there are those that seek their own, that are worried more about things of the earth rather than Christ. But once again, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel, in the field. Our life is flashing before us. You know, you ever have that where you get into a situation and your life flashes before your eyes? You know, a lot of people have said that many times in their life. I got into such a bad situation, my life just flashed before my eyes. Well, here it is. It's flashing before our eyes. Was I faithful to learn and grow in the Lord? You know, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in the knowledge, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says to grow. It says to increase is what it says. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have to ask myself, am I studying the word? We talked about this morning, passionate in the word. Do I have a desire for it? Because it says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word that you may what? What was that verse this morning we saw it? That we may grow thereby. I have to be approved unto God. I got to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed. What, am I ashamed of what I have become? Because I'm not learning and I'm not growing in the Lord. Am I faithful in this area? How about this one? Using our abilities to honor the Lord. We know this from Matthew 25 verses 24 through 26. That describes the one talent man. You know, he gave those talents. The master gave the talents. And one squandered it. His ability. He dug a hole and he buried it. He was not faithful. and what he had been given.
Can we say that we use our abilities to honor God? How about prayer? We talked about prayer this morning, didn't we? That was one of our passionate in prayer. That was one of our points. That was actually our second point this morning in our sermon and song. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, gives us such thought about, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Do we have that kind of life? Do we have that kind of passion to communicate with our Lord? Am I faithful in this area? How about teach and defend the truth? You know, can we say that we're doing that? You know, we find the examples many times throughout the scriptures where they were doing just that. They were ready to give an answer of the hope that lied within. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." That's very interesting. He says, first you have to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's got to be the first thing. Are we ready to teach and defend the truth at all cost? How about being faithful to abstain from or renouncing evil? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Not traveling down that path. Not allowing ourselves to get caught in an area in which we will fall away. Once again, not conform to this world, but once again, that renewing of the mind, that transformation that takes place as a Christian. Am I faithful in that area? What about sacrificial and a giving person? We talked about resources as well this morning. You know, one of the individuals that we sometimes refer to and we talk about sacrificial and a giving person is found in Mark 12 and verse 44. And that's the poor widow, right? And she only gave two mites, right? She cast in all that she had. What made her so special? Because of her heart. She sanctified the Lord God. She was a giving person. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 and 7 tells us to not give as if it's a necessity. I just have to do it. We don't have to do anything. The widow didn't have to give all that she had. She didn't have to. But she did. It shows what kind of motive she had. One who purposes in their heart is what Paul told those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. How do we purpose in our heart? You know, we're not just thinking about money, monetary things of that sort. We're talking about time. Do we give it grudgingly? Once again, the time that we spent this morning and the time that we're spending this evening is because, well, it's just necessary because this is the way things are. This is the way I've always done it. There are those recorded in the scriptures that really, is this a sacrifice? How much do we sacrifice? You know, you find David, who was told that when he was going to build an altar, he was going to sacrifice to God. Because, once again, he numbered the people. He took a census, right? And he got in trouble for it. He was not supposed to. And Arana said that, here, you can have the materials here, right? He said, you're the king. And David said, I will offer unto God nothing of that which cost me nothing. He said, I will offer unto God nothing of that which cost me nothing. He could have took it for free, but would that truly have been a sacrifice? Think about that. Those are just a few to list, but I would submit to you that a good beginning is not enough. It's not enough just to have a good beginning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It never says where we stop walking in him, where we reach a certain point in our life and we say, well, that's it. I don't have to walk with him no more. It says rooted. It says built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with, a very interesting last word, thanksgiving. Remember, I died last night. I meant to be more faithful to the Lord. You ever reflected on that? I meant to be more faithful. If I had just lived a little bit longer, I would have studied my Bible. I would have been a true worker for the Lord. I would have, you know, done so much. Much more good in my life. Lay aside every hindrance and every sin. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. So, last night I died. Question, could the Lord rely on me? Was I a trustworthy, dependable disciple of his? Answer it for yourself, as I do for mine. The next question, did I win a soul for Christ? I think that's an interesting question to ask. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. We know the verses from Matthew chapter 5. In verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world, Jesus said. Jesus said this, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Are we a luminary of righteousness? Think about your life here. Are we that voice that's crying in the wilderness that we find even in the Old Testament? By our example and our influence upon others, how much have we influenced another? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. Does someone have a pattern to look at? It's always helpful to have a pattern, isn't it? To go by. Are we that pattern for someone? Are we that strength for someone who is weak? It wasn't too long ago that there was one that, and I said there's several that I've been concerned about in the faith. And some time had went by, and he had fallen away. And it tugged on my heart every day. And I thought about it every day. Have you thought about somebody like that every day? It tugs on you. And you work at it, and you work at it, and you work at it. Just throwing little things out every once in a while. Email here. Bulletin here. And I'll never forget the day that he came looking for me. I can probably tell you I cried for, Kenzie can tell you I cried probably for hours. Because that was years. Years of prayer. That was years of wanting for someone to find. Have you ever had that much desire for someone to find their way back? I have. I know what that's like. Do I need to work on it more? Yes. With others? Yes. We all have that. We want to be good stewards. We want to be good disciples. We teach the gospel to persuade the lost. We live the gospel to persuade the lost. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, what do we do? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. What's the next three words? We persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We do this. That's everyone's responsibility in our reaching forth. Last night I died. Question. Well, I hear someone say, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him. Or even this, I didn't know you were a Christian. We have a perfect example, or a perfect opportunity that's coming up the third week in May. Flyers are going to be printed out and they're going to be ready to go. How many are we going to get people? How many words are we going to tell them, hey, come and hear the gospel proclaimed. Come and hear it. Will we show our concern? Will we show our love for the gospel and the love for souls that one day they will die? I will die. There's opportunities. Lord, I tended to be a good example. I wanted to teach the lost. I wanted to help someone more. These are areas that we all have to work on. The next question is, did I make life easier for someone else? Matthew 25 and verses 31 through 46 is always, I think, a really interesting one as well to bring this point. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And once again, get this image in your mind. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, and it's so much as you did it to the one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. That puts a lot into perspective of our lives, doesn't it? We talked about, matter of fact, on the way home, about the golden rule, right? Matthew 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's also a silver rule and a bronze rule. I don't know if y'all are aware of that. But the bronze rule is do unto others before they do something to you. Something of that nature. right? Silver is pretty much get even, right? So me and Ken just talking about this on the way to the house this afternoon, and reminded me of the sermon here. Kindness, respect, love. You know, what did I do for someone? Was this journey all about stacking up how many things I could, how many possessions I have, you know, what kind of college degree I have? Let's go on, right? Or was it really meant for, well, passionate and serving? We talked about this morning. He will answer them, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Stranger, naked, sick, or in prison? And did not minister to you. That's serving, right? That's what minister stands for. Then he will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Sobering thoughts, right, at the end of Matthew 25. Last night, I died. Did I make life easier on someone else? What will my answer be? What will it be? The last one that I have for us to reflect upon in our lives is last night I died. What influence did I leave behind? We've touched on this one already a little bit, but I'm going to ask, was my influence felt by a life lived giving God first place in everything? We spent an entire service this morning singing, praying, and worshiping God about being first, a passion for my God. Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, he said. Seek ye first. A name that's held in honor. You know, we think about what names mean today. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. That should mean something. Chapter 10 and verse 7 of Proverbs, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Kindness, generosity, integrity, holiness. These are all important things. What about a legacy of faithfulness to God? You know, one that's mentioned, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, in the Hall of Faith, one of the first ones mentioned, is Abel. It records that Abel, as we remember from Genesis, he provided and gave a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, didn't he? And Abel is told by the Hebrew writer, he says, Abel, being dead, what's the last? Yet speaketh. He still speaks to us today about a life of a legacy, a life to be remembered. How much can we say for Cain? What do we remember about Cain? He killed Abel. That's what we remember, right? I always think that's interesting. Because we think about names so much. About what my name means. I give my name meaning every day. You give your name meaning every day. Is this something that people see? They attach to your name. I mean, we could have named Aiden Ahab. I don't think that'd been really a catchy one. But we attach bad things with Ahab, don't we? And Jezebel. And all those other ones of the Bible, we say, those are just horrible characters. Why? And we say, is there anything wrong with them? Well, there is something wrong with a name, I think. It's not exactly, we say, what we're used to. But they made bad decisions, bad choices. And I hope as Aiden grows up that someone's going to say, well, that's DJ's boy.
That's that Dickerson boy. That's that one. Well, that's that one that does good, that loves God. Is that what we want? Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice, he being dead, yet speaketh. Remember, last night, you and I died. What influence did you leave? What influence did I leave? These are very simple, easy, thought-provoking questions that we have asked throughout this lesson. And I appreciate your kind attention in this lesson. I think it's an important lesson for us to take in, to take stock, inventory of our lives. If I died last night, the question I ask in closing, am I satisfied with what I saw? Am I satisfied with what I saw? I ask the question, are we living for Him today? Because we are not dead yet. We are still in the land of the living. Are we living for Him? Are we ready to meet Him? Are we ready? You get your songs ready, your supplemental songs. If today were the end of the world, fact is, He could come back, return before the night is up. Sobering questions. We say, I live for you today. I did my best for you today. I'm ready to meet Him. Will we have the mentality of Stephen? Stephen, who, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Or we have the attitude of the rich man at the beginning of the lesson. When God said, Fool, this thy night, thy soul is required of thee. Whose shall these things be? Are we rich toward God? I hope so. Sobering thought of Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it appointed man to die once, but after this, the judgment. How'd you answer those questions? Where have you found yourself before God? If there is a deficiency, if there is something that we need to change in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected? We are told.